the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 1, the verses 1 through 18. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 1, the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And of his fullness of all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, it is for the second time on this holy day of rest that we and our dear children may gather together round about thy word, thy eternal testimony, within the walls of thy courts, and then by renewal we attempt to open our unclean lips unto thee, who were clothed with honor, glory, and majesty. Wilt thou also clothe us with that profound humility and that deep reverence, with an impression of our needs, the temporal needs are manifold. The greatest need is that our never-dying soul may be saved. Wilt thou grant faith to believe that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we even ask or think, where thou art such a great God, and by giving out thou can never become less, by withholding thou shalt not become greater. And to that end, Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may be the dispenser of those heavenly gifts merited by Christ Jesus, by the work of the Holy Spirit. When thou shalt grant it, then on the coming Lord's Day, the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be administered in the midst of the congregation, and to that end, then the congregation is called to examine their hearts, each and every one of us, how it is with our soul, and that examination must be according to thy holy word. We need the enlightening of thy Holy Spirit. It is a very important examination, because a mistake concerning this examination, that is an eternal mistake, and to that end wilt thou lead us by thy truth and by thy Spirit. Oh, for the unconverted, may they truly become unconverted with their desperate need to be saved. Wilt thou spare us and our dear children, that we build not upon sandy foundations, and then we are called upon to examine whether there was a beginning by thy free and sovereign grace, a beginning which thou hast wrought, a beginning and a work that thou knowest of, and the soul shall also know it, and also the devil. But not only that beginning to be drawn by the cords of love, to become a sinner, but also to examine our hearts concerning the knowledge of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, an examination concerning that true saving faith, and in the life of thy true people, and then what a questions and what a riddles there can be, And then each time by renewal, it shall be their prayer, their sigh, and their cry, that thou may confirm thine own work, to receive that true saving faith, to receive what thou grantest unto thy people. Thou knowest the struggles that there can be, but may it please thee to grant, where we read of the psalmist of old, O my soul, why art thou cast down and so disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Bless the labors and the labors and that is needful in the family circles and that is also so necessary in our Christian school, a rich outpouring of the Holy Spirit and that the labors may taste what they speak and handle of. So we commend thy whole church unto thee all over the earth. Wilt thou remember the branch, the family circles, provide for them. Above all, do bless thy holy word to the hearts of young and old. Remember our denomination, all the congregations, the vacant congregations, wilt thou remember all of our needs. Continue to uphold the persecuted church. Take the veil off the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Remember thy servants and the team. Wilt thou remember the nations of the earth, the nations where there is war, bloodshed, death, mourning, distress, despair, discouragement, and then thou yet maketh the difference in this dark and evil time, that we may still live in relative peace, although the spiritual warfare between the kingdom of thy dear Son and the kingdom of the devil continues to rage. It is greatly increasing, and it shall end in persecution. And then we do well to examine our hearts, under which banner we are living, under which banner we are striving. Lord, grant a richer outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. Remember our poor nation. Remember the leaders politically, federally, and provincially, and also the councils of the city, also. Signs of the times and hear the footsteps of King Jesus and that by thy grace that we may be given to hasten for our life's sake. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought dear ones to the cemetery. Oh, do continue to uphold them. Remember our elderly ones in the care home with those who may care for them. those that may still go in and out. In the day of tomorrow, then an old father with his dear wife hope to commemorate that thou was added an other year unto his years. He is becoming frail according to the body, according to the mind. Eternity is approaching above all things. May it please thee to save his never-dying soul, and wilt thou remember him together with his dear wife. A father and mother, they hope to commemorate in this week that thou was spared them for 60 years on life's pathway together in holy matrimony. Thou was wonderfully spared, where there was a time that father seemed to lie at the gates of eternity, but thou hast restored. Wilt thou grant them a good day with broken and humble hearts, when they may erect an Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord has helped above all things. Wilt thou be mindful of their never-dying souls, grant them a special place at thy footstool. We commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted, all those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening. Remember all those who struggle with continual pain. Weariness of the body can be the weakness of the mind. It is all known unto thee. Wilt thou grant a solution when there is no solution, that the callings may be sanctified? We commend unto thee all the sick relatives with the circumstances most perfectly known unto thee. And when, Lord, thou grantest a fair measure of health, when there are no pains, no aches, may we be given to often stop and pause. Then it is also necessary to lay all those before thee, because so oftentimes then we become so busy in the world, and then we think not so much of our soul, even living here, as if this is our eternity. But then we do well to examine our lives, the purpose, what we use our health and strength for, whether it is only for our daily bread. May we be spared from using it for sinful and unlawful things, but may it be granted by thy free and sovereign grace, by the work of thy Spirit, that we may be given to seek thee in the days of our youth, in the days of our health and of our strength. Wilt thou remember the children and our young people in a special way to that end, where we live in a time of so many temptations that draws them from the right way? But, Lord, wilt thou spread a fiery wall round about us, round about the truths of thy holy word, the old truths and the old ways, and that we may be given to often pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, we humbly ask thee, grant thy Spirit in speaking and in listening. Dwell richly amongst us. Grant an unforgettable service, a blessed service, that thy footsteps may be noticed, thy voice heard, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion, and that thou may remember thy people with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Visit us with thy salvation. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. For thy people I confess the wonders of thy righteousness. Thou knowest, Lord, that I have made thy great salvation known, thy truth and faithfulness displayed, thy loving kindness shown, and what follows. Psalter 112, the four stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in John 1, the verses 16 and 17, were God's word, and our text reads thus: "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Our text words speak of the fullness of the grace of God by Jesus Christ. With four thoughts: in the first place, the desperate need for grace. Secondly, the rich source of grace. Thirdly, the amazing fullness of grace. And in the fourth place, the continual administration of grace. The fullness of the grace of God by Jesus Christ. The desperate need for grace, for we read in verse 17, that text begins with the word "for," connects it to the former verse, "For the law was given by Moses," and then those words are followed with "but." The rich source of grace, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Thirdly, the amazing fullness of grace, and of his fullness have all we received. And then in the fourth place, the continual administration of grace. And then we read at the end of verse 16, "and grace for grace." Thus first, the desperate need for grace. Beloved congregation, we have come together in this evening hour, an hour of preparation, when the Lord grants it, then the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ hopes to be administered in our midst. And we read of that divine command in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, "Let a man so examine himself, and eat of that bread, and drink of that cup. For he that eateth the bread, and drinketh the cup, drinketh unworthily, drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And now our text words, they speak of the wonderful works of the Lord, which the Lord granteth to his people by his Spirit, a virtue, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. Then in our text words, then we read that word "grace" three times. We find that word "grace" four times in the Gospel of John. We also find it in verse 14. And then that word "grace," that means favor, divine influence upon the heart, also the reflection in the life of the church, And then it speaks grace in relationship to sin and the attributes of God. Then it speaks of God's mercy and the way of forgiveness. And then in verse 17, then it is divided by that word but, for the law was given, so that word for, that refers to the fullness that we have all received, and grace for grace. And then it follows, for the law was given by Moses. And then we read in Exodus 19 that the Lord has given the command through the mouth of Moses that the children must be sanctified, and that they were to prepare themselves for that solemn day when the Lord would speak unto them. And then already before they have heard the law, and then they have promised the Lord all that the Lord will command, that shall we do. And then we read of solemn matters, that on that day there were thunders and lightnings, the trumpet was exceeding loud, the people trembled, the mountain was altogether on a smoke, the whole mount quaked greatly, the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. And then we even read in Hebrews 12, verse 12, that Moses has declared, I exceedingly fear and quake. That was a never-to-be-forgotten day for the children of Israel when the Lord has spoken with an audible voice. Oh, a precious introduction, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then the Ten Commandments. And then we have heard that the trumpet sounded louder and louder, and that is now necessary to experience. Because we read that word, but, grace, in opposition to the law. And the law demanded perfect obedience. And then at the mount, at the foot of Mount Sinai, then that people were trembling because they have said to Moses, after the Ten Commandments, we read distinctly, that they have went further away from that mountain. The noise and the sight was so terrible, but we do not read that they left. They needed a mediator. They have asked Moses whether the Lord could speak to him, and that Moses could then relate the words spoken to them. And thus, when we read that the law came by Moses, and then in the Romans and different places of the Scripture, it is clearly declared that the law is given to uncover. And then we need to learn Romans 3, verse 20, that by the deeds of the law no flesh can be justified, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And now when the Lord begins that good work, and then it goes not in the first place about the depth, but the truth of the matter. And then it is the work of the Holy Spirit, because we read in John 16, the verses 8 through 10, and when he has come, that is the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That is the work of that blessed Spirit, to uncover a sinner to their lost condition, the hopelessness of their condition, and even with the promise that the children have made, that in our life, that the trumpet sounds louder and louder, and that it may echo in our hearts what I read in Galatians 3 verse 13, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them, that by the uncovering work of the Spirit, that we become a poor and needy sinner, and that we learn that we cannot keep one of the commandments, and our debt only becomes greater, because congregation, if that is not experienced, what shall we then do with grace? What shall we then do with the Jesus? Because he has come to save his people from their sins. Christ has said in Matthew 9, verse 12, they that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. And in Luke 19, verse 10, that he has come to save, to seek, and to save which are lost. Thus the law came by Moses. And what is now necessary, that we do not only receive a knowledge of Moses, that is the law, but that we receive those further leadings. We need to know more than our misery. We need more than convictions. Ah, the true work of the Lord is a work of love. The Lord draws them with the cords of love. And then we receive a love for everything that pertains to the Lord, with a holy desire to please. But we read in our text, for the law was given by Moses. And concerning Moses, Paul has written to the Romans in Romans 7, the first four verses concerning marriage, that for a wife that has been married, that she may not remarry while the husband is still living. And then Paul is given to speak of spiritual matters. Then it is necessary by the instruction and the work of the Holy Spirit that we become dead to the law. And what does that mean? That in the way of experience, deeper uncovering, that we learn that we can never, never be saved by the works of the law. In the second place, that law needs to be fulfilled and satisfied. And that in the third place is through the death of Christ, where he has fulfilled all the types, where he has obeyed the law for his people. And in that respect, then they become dead to their first husband, and they may marry the second, and that is the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now there can be souls that are still married to Moses, but that have received a glimpse of the greater bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the type in Ruth 2. We read of a Ruth that with great delight and gladness that she was given to glean. Oh, it was the gifts of the field of Boaz. And on that field, then she has received, she was still working for sustenance. But on that field, She has received a certain knowledge of Boaz. She has even received an invitation that she may sit at mealtime, but she has continued with that knowledge still to labor on that field for a living. In Ruth 3, there it has become different, because then it is specifically mentioned at the end of Ruth 2 that the barley harvest has come to an end, and then she has come in a great need. And then that Naomi, as she had knowledge of the kinsmanship, then she has said to her daughter-in-law, "Shall I not seek rest for thee?" And then we know the history. She has went to the threshing floor, and in Ruth 4, there that other kinsman that was the law could not save her, and there she has become the bride of Boaz. And thus, concerning our text words, concerning the law of Moses, and concerning the grace as it is in Jesus Christ, we read in the form that our forefathers have written according to the Scriptures, that it has pleased Christ to strengthen the faith of his true people. And then concerning the Lord's Supper, then we must examine what that faith is exercised with. We have heard from the 12 articles, "I believe in God the Father." When the Lord works, then we have to do with the Lord that just, that majestic, that good-doing God. And then we do not have a knowledge of the three distinct persons. And now concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, then it is necessary, it is indispensable, not as a condition, but to make room for that precious bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, it is not stated, because in the form, then it is written that Christ has instituted the sacraments, and that is also the sacrament of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper, for the strengthening of the faith of his people. And then Christ has declared, "Do this in remembrance of me." That means, as with the Ruth, no, she could not say she was the bride of Boaz. That was a people that do not have that a full assurance of faith, but where that precious Lord Jesus Christ, where the Scripture, where the gospel has been opened, where he has become so necessary, so suitable, and so precious. Secondly, the rich source of grace. And then we read in our text words, "But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Thus that word "but," that is an opposition to the law, and that is to works. And then there is spoken of that glorious grace which the Lord bestows to his people. And when the Lord works, then such a soul experiences that there is mercy, that there is grace, that there is favor. They experience the loving kindness of the Lord. They are given to beg oftentimes for a new token of his favor. And when they may receive those special tokens, can be in providence in itself, not a foundation for eternity, when the Lord may apply a special word out of the Scriptures to their soul, then how happy, how encouraged they are when with the Ruth. Have you ever learned to glean on the field of Boaz's congregation? That is such a delightful work. Oh, in God's house, when we may hear our heart and life declared, riddles unriddles, riddles unriddled, then with the Ruth, it is true. Ruth had to glean it all out. The further that people are led, the more they do so. Nevertheless, how happy they are when they may receive tokens of the Lord's favor. But now it is the work of the Spirit. Oh, he draws with his love. They are conquered by his love. 'Tis the work of the Holy Spirit, and that separates the precious from what is not the true work. Congregation, there can be much that is not true saving, but it is the work, the special work of the Holy Spirit, typified in the servant of Abram, believed to be Eliezer, where he was sent into a far country to obtain a bride for Isaac. And then Eliezer did not stop with the gifts. Oh, they were precious. Rebecca was happy with them. But Eliezer, this clearly declared in Genesis 24, his mission was to win the heart of Rebecca over. And when she was asked, "Will thou go with this man?" then she has immediately replied, "I will go." Thus for the church of God, that is the work of the Holy Spirit, for the church not only to receive those gifts and those tokens of his favor, to be spoiled with the world, for the world to follow hard after the world, after the Lord, because congregation, when the Lord works, then it shall be seen and then it shall be noticed. But then it is the work of the Holy Spirit in the way of experience, because those seeking souls, oh, when we ask them, when they may have a little freedom, then they may tell what they believe that the Lord has done, that they have experienced many special things. Our old fathers have stated in different places that with our convictions and with our experience, that it can still go either way, not from the Lord's side, because he shall never forsake the work what he has begun. But that is in the way of human expression, that it can still fall either way. And to that end, what is now so needful? Our text, that we learn not only to experience that wonderful grace wrought in the heart, that we become new creatures, new desires and new longings. We shall have much trouble with sin, with our evil heart, and that we hear the trumpet louder and louder. But that we learn in the way of experience how it is possible that the Lord, who was so holy, so righteous, so pure, is also merciful. But how it is possible that the Lord can grant grace to such a sinner as I am, transgressed all 10 commandments, and original sin on top. The list is great and long. Then it is needful, and that is now the work, the true work of the Holy Spirit, to reveal unto a sinner, by his word, open the gospel, and that he shows unto such a sinner how it is possible that the Lord, that he can give grace to a poor sinner as I am. And that is also declared, so richly displayed, at the table of the covenant, in the broken bread and the poured out wine. And to that end we read, for grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. That is free and sovereign grace, without the merit of man. Sinner needs to learn, if anything needed to be added to our salvation from our side, even a sigh, would be eternally lost. Oh, the church, think of Paul to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Thus grace, free grace, merited grace, and then we read not only grace, but also truth, that the Lord, he makes true everything, each word, what is written in God's word. The promises for us, church. Oh, what a blessed place when the church may be exercised with that truth. Do we not read in John 14, verse 6, I am the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There we have our text. For grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. And now concerning the granting of that grace, also concerning the truth, it shall be tried. That is the trial of faith. When the Lord speaks a word, are there still souls that are waiting for the Lord to fulfill what he has spoken and promised unto them, that you were given to plead with the psalmist of Psalm 119, verse 49, remember thy word unto thy servant, also unto thy handmaid, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. We read in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, that the Lord shall fulfill all his word. And then grace and truth, and that is the rich source of grace. Then we read, came by Jesus Christ. Jesus, I think our children know it, at least the older ones, that means Savior. He has come to save his people from their sins. When we read the expression, grace and truth. This is the second time in this chapter concerning our text, it is true. There are different thoughts among the commentators whether our text words have been spoken by John the Apostle or by John the Baptist makes not so much difference. It is the inspired word of God. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Christ as prophet, priest, and king. He has merited that salvation in the state of his humiliation, and he applies it by the work of his Spirit in the state of his exaltation. Thus, 2 points. The first, the knowledge of our misery. That is not a strange matter to the true child of God. Not only in the beginning. This morning we have mentioned Romans 7, where Paul was given to say, O wretched man, that I am, the good that I would, I do not. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will to perform it is present, but how to perform it I find not. The good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. Then maybe, children, maybe you think, is that now the Apostle Paul? That is the experience of the child of God as he is longer on the way. It is true, when the Lord begins and concerns souls, they hear the people of God speaking of those things. Out of respect they shall be quiet, but they do not really believe it, because then they are given to see they such a sinner and God's people so holy. But it shall be experienced, O wretched man that I am, and that is not only talk, but that is experienced sorely and deeply in the way of experience, thus concerning the law of Moses. Then it is not only in the beginning, but that is a continual uncovering, but then it is necessary. Also, our second point, but grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. Do this in remembrance of me, that is a necessary knowledge, which the Lord by his Spirit grants unto his child to attend the table of the covenant. Let us first sing. Psalter 378. Let us sing 1 and 2, and if necessary, also the third. Give thanks to God, for good is he, his grace abideth ever. To him all praise and glory be, his mercy faileth never. 378, 1 and 2, and if necessary, also the third. the fullness of the grace of God by Jesus Christ. The desperate need for grace, the rich source of grace, and now thirdly, the amazing fullness of grace. And then we read in our text, and of his fullness have all we received. That word "and," that points to the former verses. And when John says, have all we received, who was now understood by that all? Is that all mankind? Is that the whole congregation? Does that include you, congregation? That is the question. It is so personal. And then we read solemn words in the former verses, in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That word "own," that refers to the privileged people of Israel. He came as the light in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Are we still included in that number of those that received him not? Congregation, those that serve the world, maybe even quite boldly, how long shall you continue to refuse to bow under the authority of God's holy word? For those that trust secretly, being under the truth and their self-righteousness, not as bad as the world, how long shall you refuse to place yourself under the scepter of King Jesus? Also those, I hope, that there are many among young and old that live not so easy upon the earth, many times with thoughts of God, of your sin, yet convictions impressed upon your mind and heart that you need grace and that you cannot die as you were born. Oh, then in this evening, what a wonderful word that little word grace is. In that word, there is hope. And therefore, place yourself faithfully under the means of grace, where it may be declared that wonderful, that free and sovereign grace, the way that the Lord converts and leads his people, a full of grace and truth. The King is still gathering his church. What a sad doctrine it is, where it is told that did sinners that they need to convert themselves, then it would never happen, congregation. Those dry bones in Ezekiel 37 without the prophesying of the prophet, they would remain very dry. Oh, the King, full of grace and full of truth that also concerns the unconverted. It concerns the true people of God. And then that word all, that is declared in former verses, oh, in verse 12, but as many, that is the chosen church, then they receive power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then we have it, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Thus Arminian, there we have it. No free will concerning our salvation and the glory of God, but it is of God. And now our text words, and of his fullness have all we received. Then in verse 14, then we read of a people that were given to learn where it was revealed, the precious birth of the Savior. Because in verse 14, we have the same expression, full of grace and truth. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thus in verse 14, a revealed Savior, born in the stable, laid in the manger, the Son of God. But in verse 16, then there may be spoken of that receiving, and that is by true saving faith, wrought by the Spirit, not only to see, but to receive. And then we read, and of his fullness, and of that word, that is a very broad word. Oh, then we may speak of the fullness of his willingness to come upon the earth to save sinners. The fullness of his love. We read in Ephesians 3, the verses 18 and 19, that Paul is given to speak of the vastness, the greatness of that love, that the depth, the height, the width, and the breadth, that it cannot be fathomed, and then to realize that fullness, to whom it has been merited for, who may receive it, that is enemies, that is sinners. People upon him and satisfy justice. His perfect sacrifice, the bride has said, that he was also ruddy. Christ has cried out on the sixth crossword, it is finished, a full and a free salvation. We could speak of the fullness of Christ. Our young people know it. And the older ones should know it. The five ways in which the mediator must be known. In his names, the fullness of his names. The fullness in his natures. the fullness in his offices, where the fullness lieth in the state of his humiliation, in the state of his exaltation, the fullness of his benefits, what a fullness there is to help in time of need, as we read in Hebrews 4, the verses 15 and 16, the fullness of his invitations, where they are clearly laid out, those invitations, who they come to, the promises and the price. Oh, Isaiah 55, verse 1. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, buy wine and milk, ye can buy without money and without price. Our last thought, the continual administration of grace. And then we read in verse 16 concerning that fullness which God's people may receive. And then there is added, and grace for grace, could also be translated grace and added grace. In James 4 verse 6, there is spoken of more grace. And now when we read those special words, grace for grace, then it is grace which the Spirit works in the heart to need grace. It's what the true child of God learns. And they shall learn it more and more, that their only hope is grace. Free grace, sovereign grace, grace without money and without price. Grace for grace. Then they also need grace to receive grace. That rule-making work by the Spirit. Then they need grace to use grace. The child of God learns more and more that they need to be administered out of his fullness, and that they use grace aright, that they do not become an antinomian, but with that grace, and not to end in self, that awful pride, but to be given to end in grace. Then further, they need grace to live out of grace, to live out of that precious mediator, to live through him, to live unto him. Then they need grace to receive more grace. Can be such a resting in our day upon the blessings that they have received, upon their experience. But then it is also grace when by the Spirit they may be led further into the mysteries of salvation. They learn they need grace to continue, because Peter has said in 1 Peter 1 verse 5, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed the last days. Then it is grace for grace, to reflect grace, that can also be the meaning of that word grace in the Greek in Scripture, to reflect grace. Thus there we have the gratitude, and we read verse 13, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me, so grace for grace. Grace in a week of preparation. Grace to read the scriptures. Grace to bow their knees. Grace to come up to God's house. Grace to attend profitably after examination concerning the knowledge of misery, the dear Son of God, and gratitude, also grace in the way of reflection, the child of God, where they learn it more. To live out of grace, through grace, and that they may be given to glory in grace. Romans 11, verse 36, of him, through him, and to him, be all things, unto him be glory forever. Congregation, how is it concerning our text? That is the point. That is the question. Does the text exclude or include? Oh, when it excludes, go then to your home and tell the Lord that you have heard it is all of grace, and that there is such a fullness in that grace, and that the King is still extending that grace to sinners, and ask the Lord that you may become partakers of that grace, the wonderful works of the Lord. And when there are souls we may thank thee for the fourth Lord's Day of this newly begun year, the opportunity to place ourselves under thy word. Thou hast yet given a few words to speak, while to add thy blessing, be the after preacher. May we examine whether the word has excluded us. When that is the case, may it please thee by the fullness of thy grace to work lovingly, to include lost sinners. And when thou hast made a beginning to examine where we are encamped, grant a prayer for one another. We may commence another week. We commend unto thee the mothers at home with the children. Remember on the way, at work, in school, wherever we are called to be. who wilt thou keep us from harm and danger. Take us under thy kind care and good protection. Bless the labors also in this week. Bless the catechism classes, house visitation. Bring us together for a weekday service to further examine our hearts, how it is traveling to that never-ending eternity. Who else thou now bring us safely to our dwellings and forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 427, the first stanza. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is he. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. And what follows? Psalter 427, the first stanza. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.